this. I'm gonna release this scripture on you. You are a chosen generation, yes, a royal priesthood. Let me just stop and talk about the chosen. Every generation is chosen. He chose you for this end time generation. He chose you for this end time generation. Every generation is chosen. You know, I used to say, I could have lived in any generation I wanted to. But Lord checked me and said, oh no. I said that because my minister peers used to say that. But God checked me. I'm like, he didn't check them, but he checked me. He said, no. He said, go and read this. He said, you are a chosen generation. Every generation is chosen.
Amen.
You ought to be excited that he chose you for the end time generation.
Amen.
He chose you for the technology generation.
Yeah,
technology is going so fast.
Yes, it is.
But we got to use it wisely for him.
Amen.
Yes. Technology was for him. When he said, let down your, when he was telling Peter them in his generation, let down your net and catch fish, that was in his generation. But in our generation, when he tells us, let down our net, he's talking about the internet.
Oh! Lord,
let the word of God go! Let it go! Praise God!
Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
See, chosen.
Yeah.
You were chosen for this technology generation. Don't get out there, put mess on it. Put the gospel on it.
Yes, I
fill did. Somebody day with the joy of the word. Living water.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, in this 8th verse here, she's telling us we need to proclaim it.
Mm-hmm.
We need to decree and declare it.
Yes.
We're going to have some declarations.
Thank you, Lord.
That we're going to decree mm-hmm. about revival.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it says, yes. When you decree something,
all right,
and it is released.
My God.
When you decree something, it's released in the spirit realm.
Thank you, God.
You release it in the spirit realm. So that's the reason proclamation is very important.
Yes.
When Jesus was getting ready to come to earth, he sent angels. They sung it. They told it. They decree it. They declare he's coming. And, you know, and the word of God says, whatever we loose on earth,
mm-hmm. yes.
loose it with your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
He'll loose it in heaven. If you loose in revival on earth, it's released in heaven.
Thank you, God.
This is just not
hallelujah.
Just any revival, but this is all the past revival and the revival he's giving us now.
Mm.
Let's read James 5 and 7. Let's go to James 5 and 7. I know you said, Mary, this is not in the book, but you know me and the Holy Spirit, he gives me things. He gives me more things.
Yes, he does. Glory to God. Glory to God.
You just have to be patient with me. Okay, it reads, James 5 and 7 reads, be patient therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband, this is what he's waiting for.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're saying, oh God, why don't you come on? And I hear people saying, we could go tomorrow. This is what he's waiting for, people. James 5 and 7 said, he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Those are all those revivals in the past and what you finna get right now.
Woo! Glory.
Yeah. Are coming together.
Yes.
That synergy, that energy.
Yes.
It's gonna be so powerful. Praise God. He said, just be patient with him.
Hallelujah.
Okay? This is what he's waiting on. This is what he's waiting on. Some people wonder, what are you waiting on? Can he come tomorrow? I just want to get out of here. I just want to escape. Get me out of here. I've heard how good it was up there. Get me out of here. I want to go. But before we go, we got something we have to do. We're going to have to be conformed more to his image, and then we're going to have to win some souls.
Yes, amen.
And the souls I'm talking about winning, it's not like, you know, you pray and maybe one or two will come. Uh-uh.
Come on.
We're talking about 1,000 in one catch.
Woo!
Glory.
That's the day of Pentecost. 3,000. Over just a little message. I mean, he had a very small message.
Yes, he did.
And, but he was bold with it.
Amen.
Glory to God.
He told him the Jesus you killed.
That's right.
And at the, now Peter was the one when Jesus was going through this, he hid himself. I mean, and he even cursed. He said, I don't even know the man. But here on this day of Pentecost, he was so bold with the Holy Ghost. It was an outpouring. It was a lot of water.
Glory.
You know, the power people, the scientists think
mm-hmm.
that they came up that you can get energy and power from water.
Mm.
The Holy Spirit knew that.
Yes. Yes. Come on.
That's the reason he visited us in... I got so much I want to share with y'all here. Let's go to Hosea 6 and 3. Hosea 6 and 3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. He's going forth, he's prepared as the morning. And he shall come into us as the rain. The latter and the former rain. That's how he visits us. In the rain. It comes to us in rain and outpouring. I mean an outpouring. You know, sometimes when we see the rain coming down, and see this is not just the rain that we see coming down. This is the rain in the form of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is powerful rain.
Amen.
Like I said, the power people thought they came up with, hey, we can get energy from, we can get some power from water, you know? So they created hydroelectric plants to get the energy, to get the electricity and the power from them. But the Holy Spirit had already came up with that, with the outpouring. He said when they got that outpouring that morning, they got power, they got fire. They seemed like fire was on their tongues. They got things. So the Lord do visit us in rain. And he said, you can ask for the rain.
Amen.
I'm not going to be able to read that one. I got so many I want to read to y'all, so I'm trying to get to show y'all. And Jose, I like what Jose 6 and 3 said. He going to visit us in rain. So he's waiting for the latter and the former rain coming together. And if you could hear about some of the past revival, it would get you thirsty for this revival.
Yeah.
I don't have time here, and I may, in one of my teachings, tell you and show you about some of those revival. We may talk about some of them. But I got to get back here. Had some more scriptures I wanted to share with you.
13, please.
Okay. Page 8. She said, for more than 30 years I have proclaimed, shouted, and declared without wavering.
Amen.
See, because this man didn't have the patience.
Mm-hmm.
This preacher, I mean, he's a well-known preacher. If I called his name, everybody here would know it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'll just go on and do what's in you. God has an outpouring for you. He want to show his power. Oh, this is the one I wanted to share with you. When Jesus wanted to show himself to Jerusalem, he said, I want to come and gather you like a hen gather her chicken. But they couldn't see it. They couldn't get it. He said, I'm so sorry you missed your day of visitation.
Yes, ma'am.
Have mercy.
I wanted to
have mercy.
Visit with you.
Have mercy.
Now, visitation is not a bad word, people. You know, this man wrote this book. He said, he put in there, the reason he didn't want just a visitation from the Lord, he wanted a habitation. It's not that he didn't stop habitating. He's habitating and he's visitation. And I sit there and I said, Lord, have mercy on this man. Because you don't know the meaning of the word visitation, what the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
Visitation, what he was trying to do, show more of himself to a people. Show more of his power. Show more. That's what he was trying to do for Jerusalem when they missed their visitation. They were so up and trying to kill the prophets, trying to kill.
Yes.
They were trying to kill everybody he sent. So he said, well, I'm coming. And he just cried. He said, they missed that visitation. I wanted to visit with them. I wanted to gather them together like a hen. Honey, it's nothing like a mother hen. You don't bother her chicks.
Amen.
You don't bother a mother hen's chicks. But he said, I wanted to gather them like that. I wanted to show them more of me. So visitation is not bad. It's that he wants to show more of himself. This man that made that statement, it was because his mom and dad was divorced. And his dad had visitation rights. And he said that was some sad thing.
Oh, have mercy.
Well, that's not the way the Holy Spirit wants to visit you.
Come on.
He wants to show more of himself.
Spiritual.
Jesus wanted, he was there for them. He said, I want to show more of myself to you. And he desired that, but they didn't desire it. See, this revival, you got to desire it.
Yes, ma'am.
You got to want it.
Yes.
And if you don't desire it and want it, you're not going to be able to Thank you. You're not going to be able to receive it if it's not your desire. It got to be your desire. I want to see him. Don't y'all want to see him in more of his power? Don't you want to see him in more of his anointing?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Don't you want him to do more even in you?
Amen.
You got to desire it, people.
Yes.
This lady was at a meeting and she was the speaker, but she was desiring more of God. She said, I see God do, you know, and I've heard about things that he's done, and I see him, you know, moving and healing a little bit, you know, on a small scale. But how many know it's time for the fullness
Amen.
To come forth? It's time for us to see more.
Amen.
It's time for us to do more.
Yes, Lord.
And he's going to equip us with it.
Amen.
Okay, she said she had been declaring it for 30 years that the church is going to experience a great revival before the return of Jesus. And when people say he could come tomorrow, I say, got to have that revival. I ain't going out here like crap. I'm going out here glorious.
Amen.
Let me show y'all something about glory. Y'all, let me show you something about that glory.
Come on.
Get back. When he said he's coming back at a glorious church.
Yes.
Let's go to the chapter that talks about the transfiguration.
Uh-huh.
When Jesus and his disciples went up on that mountain and he transfigured, You know the most thing that the disciples was talking about was his clothes. They said, man, his clothes were... I mean, they were trying to describe his clothes. Okay. When they was trying to describe his clothes, you know, when Jesus transfigured that, he transfigured in his glory. They saw his glory.
Mm-hmm.
Him, glorious. They had been walking down here with him, and, you know, he was wearing what they were wearing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But when he got up on that mountain and transfigured before them, they say his clothes changed. They were glorious. Now when he said he's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, that's talking about your clothes you're going to be wearing.
Mm.
Spot or wrinkle.
My God.
It's not going to be any natural clothes. What he's going to clothe you in is his glory.
Yeah.
And that Mount Transfiguration gave us snapshots.
Thank you, God.
Of what your clothes going to look like.
Thank you, God.
I mean, the disciples said, they were glorious clothing. I'm like, you're up there and you're seeing the transfiguration and you're going really all out there about the clothes. They said the clothes, they couldn't hardly describe it. They said, it was just glorious. And that's the way you're going to be. You're going to be a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle. When he's talking about spot or wrinkle, he's talking about what you're going to be wearing. It's not going to have a spot. Your robe is not going to have a spot. Nor even a wrinkle.
Mm.
And you know how people are about wrinkles now. I mean, you know, but sometimes we wear them wrinkles because the material wrinkles real fast. But what he was saying, they're not going to have a spot. They're not going to have no sin. That's the reason I can clothe them in my glory, because they're not going to have any sin. They're going to be glorious. Once again, he's going to clothe us in glory. You know, he clothed Adam and Eve in his glory. They were clothed in his glory. He clothed them like that. And when they messed up, they said, oh, we're naked. We don't have that glory that we had. But he is going to put some glory on us. Okay. She said she had been doing this, and she said she did it without wavering. How can you do it 30 years without wavering? She said, I didn't even waver in declaring it. She went into churches and things and declared. And at that time, you know, the churches probably was looking at her like crazy.
I'm telling you.
How can this be?
It sure will.
This revival you're talking about.
Amen.
So let's go to page 9. a vision of revival. And what we need to do is get a vision of revival. I'm praying. Oh, y'all forgive me, I didn't pray. Oh, Father, we just thank you today. We give you glory, we give you praise. We thank you for giving these people a vision of revival, of your great revival, of what you're going to do. Now, she got a vision, but we've got to get a vision of it. The Word of God said he would outpour on us, and he would give us vision. I mean, the vision, he may not take you into a church and take you out for 2 days, but he can give you a vision where you can see it. You can say, hey, I see that.
Yes.
I see what God wants to do. You see it with your spiritual eyes.
Yes.
Not your natural eyes, but your spiritual eyes. You say, I see that. Let me tell you why she was so, she had just felt so in love with God. Verse of peace, she said, in 1959, I was healed of a genetic bone disease that had taken the lives of several members of my family. Her family was dying left and right from this bone disease. But God healed her. And when he healed her, she just took off. She just got so involved in the things of God. Let's go down here to the second. It said 4 years later, on page 9. She said 4 years later, while I was ministering in a church in Oregon, God took me into the spirit for 2 days. The Lord told me that if I would remain in the sanctuary and wait upon him, he would show me things to come in his church and in the world. When he pour out the fullness, we ain't talking about part, but the fullness of his spirit.
Amen.
And as I waited there in prayer, he took me into the heavenlies and let me see the revival that is coming.
Hallelujah.
It is coming.
Yes.
Praise God, it's coming. He wrote it on screen of my mind and spirit. I saw it more clearly than I see faces of people. And he showed her it in a hydroelectric power plant. The Holy Spirit used this analogy of a hydroelectric power plant to explain to me what he was going to do. I knew nothing about electricity. I couldn't even fix a light switch if my life depended upon it. Hours after hours, he carried me into the revelation of this vision, showing me heaven's dunamis power. He was showing her. He used the analogy of a hydroelectric power plant. And I asked the Holy Spirit, you know, I'm like her. I'm asking the Holy Spirit all kinds of questions. All during the day, I'm asking him everything. I even asked him, hey, Holy Spirit, where are my keys? What are those earrings at, Holy Spirit? That I can't, you know, I'm asking him a lot of questions. And you know, he comes up with them. I said, Holy Spirit, you are amazing. You know everything. Like my grandchild said about my husband, he said, Grandma, are you as smart as Granddaddy? Because he knows everything. And I've been telling Holy Spirit, you know everything, Holy Spirit. And so we see him showing her this hydroelectric power plant. I wish I could just show you a picture. I went on my phone and I looked up some hydroelectric power plant and how they are built and how they transmit electricity and how they give you power. But she said in her vision, she said through all that water that was coming out of that hydroelectric power plant, let me back up and tell you this. All that God showed her about this, she told the man home that she was living in, she told him, you know, about it. She drew it out as the Holy Spirit, you know, gave it to her. She wrote it out and labored it and all that. And so this man said, well, I'm going to take it down into Alabama Power. That's not Alabama Power because they was in Oregon. Take them to this power plant and ask for the master electrician there. For the top electrician. See if he can tell me is some of this stuff right that you got on here about hydroelectric power plant. Mm. And he took it and he asked to see this
master.
He asked to see him and this man looked over it and he said, well, let me hold it for a day and come back. So he came back the next day and he was looking. The man said, who did this? Who drew this?
My God.
This engineer had looked over it. So he asked this man, who in the world did this? And he said, would you believe I told you a little lady that can't even change a switch?
My God.
He said, I'm going to tell you this old little lady is lying to you because this is only done by a master engineering can do this. One master. Say, our men's here. Some of them, all them can't do this. Mm. This took a master.
Glory to God.
And he said, maybe I just need to tell you, she did have a master. It was the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yay! Glory to God.
That was giving it to her.
Mm. Come on, Holy Ghost.
And the power people, they were just like, my God. This is amazing what this person done. But it was the Holy Spirit that had given him. He said, could nobody in the world do this but a master
electrician. Hallelujah.
But this little lady got it from the master electrician, the Holy Spirit.
Come on, bring it.
And engineer.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. That's where she got it from. So God showed her how he just wanted to, you know, I asked him, I said, let me get back to what a reason I asked. I said, why did you use the hydroelectric power plant? He said, Sister Mary, I'm going to say Alabama Power for us. It's something everybody uses. Everybody is familiar with.
That's good. Come on.
Everybody uses it. Honey, when I get home and my power ain't on, I pick up that phone and my husband is telling me, well, it's been off a while. Don't you think somebody done called? I want to hear what they're telling me. I want to see what they're going to tell me. Well, we know your power out. We got a man out there
teaching me it.
It should be back on about 10 o'clock because some of my things run out of power.
I know, come on, sister.
Run out of that power. I want it on. I want to know when is it going to be back on.
Yeah. I'm not sure they know it, too.
But that's the reason he used something that we all could relate to.
Yes.
And we can picture.
Yes.
We can get a vision of it. Yes. And this should give you a thirst if he's going to use it so powerful. You know, Ezekiel saw it, when he saw it as water too, mm-hmm. but he saw it as rivers flowing from the altar, mm-hmm. going from the altar.
Sister Mary, I just thought of this, you know how they say Jesus, he's the living water, and how water, you know, it can power these plants and electricity. I just thought that living water, and that just
exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. But one.